Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. On any given day, roughly 3,000 people are incarcerated at Sacramento County jails, and these facilities are responsible for the health and safety of those housed inside. But over the past decade, the county has come under scrutiny and investigations over the quality of care given to its people inside. And at the same time, the population of those detained with mental health conditions has grown significantly. The issue has escalated in recent years to a point where Sacramento County jails are at risk of federal takeover, which means losing control of its operations. And while the county works to get the jails into compliance when it comes to health, privacy, and accessibility, part of the suggested solution is a controversial annex project next to the main jail in downtown that could cost upwards of $1 billion. CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf joins us with more about how we got here, as well as what the next steps are. Hey, Kate.
Hi, Vicky.
So this is far from a single isolated issue. It dates back a decade. Remind us how these issues surrounding the jails in Sacramento County began.
So Sacramento has two jails, the Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center, otherwise known as RCCC, and the main jail downtown. And the Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center used to be an Air Force base, actually, came under county control in the 60s. And the main jail was opened in 1989. And both of those became jails before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, and also HIPAA, which protects patient privacy, which was passed in 1996. So they've always been out of compliance with those two acts. And so people with disabilities are not afforded programming options that people without disabilities have. Rooms just don't fit wheelchairs. Certain rooms don't fit wheelchairs. There's not enough outside recreation. So those have always been an issue for the jails. In terms of the past decade, or going from 2011 on, because of something called realignment, a lot more people got diverted from prisons, state prisons, into county jails. So we saw a lot more people in county jails. And these jails were built to hold people for days and weeks while they waited for a trial, not months and years, which is how they are currently holding people. So they've increased in populations. People are staying up to 13 years in some cases. And many of these people have chronic medical and mental health problems. So we've seen kind of a gaining of issues over the past decade.
And you report that the constitutional rights of those incarcerated are being called into question. What are the rights of those in custody?
The people in custody have the same rights as you and I, including the 8th and 14th Amendment rights. The 8th Amendment protects people from cruel and unusual punishment, which is protection from excessive bail, fines, cruel and unusual conditions of confinement. People have the right to adequate medical care, right? It doesn't have to be, fabulous care, but getting people's needs met, and protection from violence and sexual assault while in custody. And the 14th Amendment assures that everyone is treated equally under the law and that, if you have a disability, you're not getting unequal treatment.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the main jail, which is located in downtown, there's RCCC, which is Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center, that's located near Elk Grove. Why is there a larger focus on the jail in downtown?
I think there's an acknowledgement, actually, that both facilities need to be updated. The RCCC, as I mentioned, was built as an Air Force training base. So there was less of an explicitly carceral purpose to that building. But the Sacramento main jail it's the main intake spot. It holds more people. And it's extremely outdated when it comes to the healthcare needs, the mental healthcare needs, the suicide prevention needs that are all necessary. It's also has a lot of staff, too many staff for what it can handle as a building and too many people for what it can handle as a building.
So walk us through a timeline, because it's really helpful to visualize what's unfolded over the many years, roughly a decade. When did legal action against the quality or even lack of care at these jails, when did it begin?
So in 2015, Disability Rights California and the Prison Law Office started checking out what it looked like in the Sacramento County jails. And instead of immediately filing a lawsuit, they started negotiating with the county about what changes can be made. That didn't really work. So in 2018, they filed a class action lawsuit representing a group of 8 people incarcerated in the jails. And that One of those people was a man named Lorenzo Mays, who had intellectual disabilities and spent 8 years in solitary confinement pre-trial. So, hadn't even been convicted of a crime, but was in solitary confinement for 8 years. So, came to an agreement called the Mays Consent Decree out of that class action lawsuit. And they've been working on that ever since. One of the main people who's overseeing this is a woman named Margot Mendelson. She's the legal director for Prison Law Office. She's toured the main jail a number of times, and here's how she described it to me.
The Sacramento County Main Jail is a horrific, dangerous, depressing, awful, filthy place that is not accessible for people with disabilities and does not allow for confidential mental health and medical care in ways that anyone who's incarcerated is entitled to. Some amount of change to that building is essential to meet basic human needs, so long as that building continues to incarcerate anyone.
Kate, what has Sacramento County said over the years in response? I mean, what agreements or concessions did the county make?
The county agrees that it's not working how it is and where it is. So, however, they've been extremely slow to make progress. They've been studying this, studying that, you know, trying to figure out a strategic plan. But meanwhile, people are not having their medical needs met. So when they did in 2018 take healthcare out from under the sheriff and brought it to the county health services, and so that was a step. And in 2022, they came to another agreement that acknowledged that the county needs to get more serious about population reduction and about improving that building, specifically the main jail. So something that was noted by observers over the years, you know, you ask about agreements and concessions, is that the leadership changes every 2 years. And so it makes it really difficult to have a consistent response to the Mays consent decree.
Who is currently responsible then for conditions at the jail?
So operations are managed by the sheriff, right? Day-to-day operations. Healthcare is run by the county, right? Health services, adult correctional health, and they have a contract with UC Davis regarding the provision of mental health care. But these two things, right, operations by the sheriff and healthcare by health services, they're often at odds. So oftentimes, because of a lockdown or something, people don't get their medication. People don't get to go outside. They don't get to see their therapists. So it's really difficult to manage a facility this large with this large of a population and meet people's mental and medical health needs, which are just growing.
Okay, so we have all that context of what's taken place over the years. So let's fast forward to now, this year. Where do conditions at the jail stand?
So some conditions of the Mays consent decree have been made. About a third of medical needs have been medical provisions have been met. But there's still a long, long way to go. So they have introduced a medication assisted treatment program that's new. That's to help people who are experiencing, who use drugs, who come into the jail, helps them not have withdrawal as bad, helps them kind of wean themselves off of that. There's been improved sanitation, efforts to improve privacy. But in other ways, there are huge, huge issues. There's not enough healthcare staff, custodial staff. There's no assessments of medical care quality. There are huge backlogs for people needing care and issues with the way people who are suicidal are treated. They're not supervised properly. They're not held in correct cells. And really meaningfully for the people who are community activists and also who are the lawyers in this case, the county has not reduced the population of the jail. Mm. And so that's really significant at this moment.
When you talked to the county, what did you learn about the reasons why progress has been slow?
I sat down with the county to talk about this, and the two main reasons that they gave about why it's been so hard is that there's deep issues with the physical space and there's a staffing shortage. So Tim Lutz is the director of health services in the county, and he told me that there's just not enough space.
We're making do. We literally are, we repurpose janitorial closets to turn them into an interview area. Or, trying to find ways to create privacy in an environment that wasn't geared toward that.
And there's also the issue of staffing that results in just serious months and years long backlog for people. Tim said that, they've boosted the number of healthcare providers, but it's really hard to find people right now.
There is an acute need across all of our communities, whether it's the hospital setting or community-based clinic or jail. We just have a shortage in the number of people that can fill these roles, and it takes a while to get all the licensing to get into these jobs.
And I'll also say on the population reduction side, when I asked how, why that's taken so long, it's in part because they were really studying how to lower the population. There has been a plan since May 2022, so a year and a half ago, but those recommendations have just begun to be staffed up, which is, I think, very frustrating for people, including people who are against building a new annex. They say, why can't we reduce the population first before we have to, you know, build this huge new building?
Okay, so I'm learning from you there's staffing shortages. They're also repurposing spaces like janitorial closets into like interview areas. I mean, when it comes down to it, what have the consequences been for those who are incarcerated inside?
It's extremely hard to encapsulate, but there have been so many examples of delayed care, of care that hasn't happened, of care that's just gotten so bad that it's required much more serious intervention. Yeah, I think, you know, most recently, the prison law office has complained about egregious failures to maintain people's privacies, because if those janitorial closets aren't available, there was a person who was being charged, who was having health screening, and there was a patrol officer nearby who heard about some of the details and changed the charging of that person because of some of the details they shared in their health screening to make it a more serious charge.
So. Yeah, and that's when you talk about HIPAA, you know, and protecting patient privacy. You know, and at this time, there are all these challenges, but you also report that those in need of mental health services, that also has grown within jails in Sacramento County. How many people are in need of care?
It's grown in a really striking way. So 63% of people inside have a mental health diagnosis and receive mental health services during incarceration. And there are only so many mental health services for people. And sometimes it's just not available. But if somebody seems like they're going to harm themselves or harm others, they're often housed in solitary confinement. And that is not a good solution. Here's what Margot Mendelson says.
And when you walk through the solitary confinement units at this jail, it's heart-wrenching. I mean, it's people shrieking, screaming, banging on doors, describing vivid auditory and visual hallucinations. So it's a place of crisis, and that is a reflection of the inadequate mental health resources in the jail.
Okay, so roughly two-thirds of people inside Sacramento County jails have a mental health diagnosis. How does that compare to statewide numbers?
It's a little bit more than what's happening statewide, but we're seeing this trend statewide, too. So a report from the Public Policy Institute of California showed that statewide, it's 53% of people inside have a mental health diagnosis and need to receive care. And I'll note that in 2010, just 13 years ago, it was 20%. And also broadly across even people who aren't incarcerated, right? There's a mental health trend of people needing and seeking more care.
When it comes to Sacramento County and the issues with the jails that you looked into, is this an extreme case or is this in line with the conditions at other jails across the state?
Other jails are dealing with similar strains, right? That increase in people needing mental health care is a statewide issue, but the prison law office tells me it's particularly bad in Sacramento, so much so that, as you mentioned, a grand jury report found that the county could come under quite a rare thing, which is a federal receivership. And the reason that that would happen is because a receiver can act extremely swiftly, unilaterally, in a way that a judge and the government can't. And yet the county is going to be on the hook to pay for whatever that receiver decides needs to happen.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf about conditions within Sacramento County jails, which is at risk of federal takeover if improvements are not made. So if bandwidth and resources are an issue, you know, as I led with, I mean, on any given day, roughly 3,000 people are housed inside these jails. Is that too much? How does that compare to what the capacity of these facilities are?
So the capacity, because the jails went from single, you know, one person being held in a cell to two people being held in the cell, it really added to the capacity of the jail and has put a serious strain on it. Definitely, it's more strain than the buildings were designed for. And they were not designed to handle this many staff, too. And I think that the population is the main sticking point, as I mentioned, for lawyers and community groups opposing the annex. Here's Margot Mendelson again.
It is failing primarily because there are too many people in the jail, and because the sheriff is not using some of his authority to release people, and because the community is incarcerating too many people. Ultimately, at core, all the failing systems in the jail, or nearly all of them, are simply a result of having too many people and enough resources available to those people.
And I think something you'll hear again and again is that the county hasn't done enough to divert people from the jail or create places for people to receive help in the community. And in the community is really the place for people to be receiving mental health services, not in a jail, just based on clinical evidence.
Mm-hmm. So a piece of this is infrastructure, obviously. The county, as you say, it's not equipped to adequately provide care. So that brings me to the Annex Project. You've touched upon this. What would this accomplish?
So the Annex Project is not going to be adding more beds to the jail system. It will create more ADA and HIPAA compliance within the jail. So it'll have a new booking loop, a medical clinic, medical housing, and housing units for patients requiring higher levels of mental health care. So it would probably do a lot to prevent the federal receivership from taking effect, which is why, even though you've heard the Board of Supervisors many times say, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do this, they feel like their hands are tied. They have to do this to prevent the receivership.
Okay. And then, okay, so when learning from you, okay, so it seems like when it comes to ADA and HIPAA requirements that, you know, there would be better conditions for people who are housed inside. So why has it been far from a smooth road to getting this off the ground? What has the pushback been?
So it was first suggested in April 2020 as a way to get into compliance with the decree, but there was a huge pushback from community groups like Decarcerate Sacramento and others who believed that systemic issues with the way people are treated in a carceral setting are not conducive to treating people medically or for their mental health, right? It's at odds. This is a punitive system in many ways that has not been changed into a rehabilitative system, and yet it's still trying to provide medical care, appropriate medical care for people. So about a year later, after it was suggested, supervisors were like, we're going to explore other alternatives. So they put it to the side. And then they conducted these studies to find out how many people can we, how much can we reduce the population? And then also, how much would we need to reduce the population to just still just have the main jail and the Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center? And they found that, those were at odds. They needed to build this new building. So it was brought back to discussion in December 2022, and it's been moving forward since that time.
I mean, how ambitious of a project is this? I mean, how did we get to upwards of $1 billion?
So it's definitely scaled up in cost as the finer details have come into focus. When it was first proposed in 2020, we heard over $200 million. That's all we heard. And then it became around $460 million in December 2022. And the latest price check was about $654 million. Sorry, that's a lot of numbers, but you can tell it's gone up steadily. For context, the jail was built in 1989 for $80 million. So the whole jail was built for $80 million, and now we're looking at $654 million for this annex project. Mm. In August, the supervisors realized it's going to cost a lot, and they passed a resolution that would allow them to take on $1 billion in bond debt that the county and taxpayer would be repaying for decades. So that's how you get that $1 billion number.
Finally, Kate, we're far from out of the woods for this. So what are the next steps that you're following?
So in the next few months, supervisors will hear an update on the annex project. So there are these kind of check-ins. And during that meeting, they'll assess the results of this competitive bid process for a design build for this building. And if things keep moving at the scheduled pace, the annex won't be complete till 2028. So in the meantime, I'll be looking at how these population reduction programs go and keeping up on how the lawyers for this case are monitoring all these medical care decisions throughout the county.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf discussing conditions within Sacramento County jails, which is at risk of federal takeover if improvements are not made. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.